like me, Justice and Drew. They sure make quite a team. I could listen to them all day long. This is the sound of the show. This is the sound. I'm giddier than a schoolgirl every time I tune in. I can't wait for Sam to bring her top five. It's the best reason to get out of bed. Time for Justice and Drew. It's time for Justice and Drew.
Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
FM. Good morning and welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. May 1st, everybody. We made it. We got
through.
We got through April.
We did.
We got through it. It is May 1st.
Snowiest I am Drew. April ever.
The snowiest April ever. I am Drew, that man over there who has, I just learned, very talented lips.
Oh, yeah.
John Justice. Yeah. He can do tricks with them.
It was more of a. It was less a lip thing. It was more of a.
He puts his pen in his mouth. Yeah,
see,
and then he's able to. He's able to flip it.
I can flip it and then catch it
with his lips.
Yeah, no, it's more with my mouth. You know,
well, what's the difference?
I'm not like tossing it with my lips.
His lips are just there.
I'm just flipping it with my jaw.
Yeah,
my talented jaw. A little more accurate. You're going to point it out.
And there also, with a very talented jaw, is the lovely, talented, radiant Sam Sansevier.
Hi.
He's also very concerned over Drew's coffee cup this morning.
I know. His coffee cup makes me anxious. It's just so full.
If you would stop flailing about every time you get near it.
I know. I have PTSD because I've spilt his coffee cup so many times. It's all over his breath.
It's amazing how much that cup of coffee that Drew gets every morning has an impact on things that happen. Because 9 times out of 10, when Drew comes in, first off, the studio door is the heaviest door known to man.
Yeah. People think they're locked in.
Every single time.
Try to leave, they're like, oh, I guess I'm staying here.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you locked the door behind me. I'm like, no, it's just heavy.
When Drew,
I guess I live here now.
When Drew arrives in studio, there's like a little alarm because he has to push it open so slowly because of the full cup in his hand. Because 9 out of 10, he spills it trying to shove the door open on his hand.
You know, here's the backstory.
You don't really have a choice with the coffee maker. It's
small,
one
medium, large.
Yeah, but nobody gets.
No, you're right. You don't really have. That's why I use my big mug.
Styrofoam cups, and I always grab a cup on my way to the studio, and I don't have a coffee cup with me, so I use one of the little styrofoam cups, and it fills it up pretty much to the brim.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I will, because I usually, we put our coffee cup in the same high spot, you know, in the studio, on this little shelf thing, when the show's over. So in the morning, when I get my cup of coffee, I will take your coffee cup to the coffee maker, and it'll be sitting there awaiting your arrival.
You're a real bro.
And then you can fill it up. Yeah, I can do that. It just requires nothing.
You're a real bro, man.
I just, well,
you're
really, you know.
You're a good friend.
Want to be able to help this jaw. A problem. That's what we want to do. We do have a busy show lined up. Up for today, though.
Before we get to
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets. Trump tweets. Yeah, yeah.
Trump tweets.
Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now?
Oh, sh.
10 minutes ago, the President of the United States tweeted, "Delegation heading to China to begin talks on the massive trade deficit that has been created with our country. Very much like North Korea, this should have been fixed years ago, not now. Same with other countries and NAFTA. But it will all get done. Great potential for USA."
Okay.
Okay, that was 10 minutes ago. And then a little bit before that, 23 minutes ago, the president tweeted, "So disgraceful that the questions concerning the Russian witch hunt were leaked to the media." He put "leaked" in quotes. "No questions on collusion. Oh, I see you have a made-up, phony crime collusion that never existed and an investigation begun with illegally leaked classified information. Nice.
I just love the way he phrased it. He just says such the dripping of sarcasm tweet from the president.
Oh,
this morning.
I see.
Oh, I get it.
We have a passive aggressive president.
So great.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, apparently there were these dozens of questions for Trump's.
It's fine. You can have that investigation if you want.
Mueller had a bunch of questions that he wants to ask Trump that apparently got leaked to the newspaper. Nobody questions that. It's just like, oh, yeah, we got it out.
Yeah.
It's out. If it's legit. But nobody questions that anymore.
No, they. Every leak has a purpose.
Yeah.
Every leak has an agenda.
Yep.
This leak was to continue the narrative, give the media more fodder so that they can keep this ridiculous investigation front and center on their cable news programs.
On the show today, the Minnesota House passed a tax plan yesterday that would lower rates for most and increase some taxes on some. We'll talk with Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka just before 7 o'clock this morning.
And then at 7:30, Jason Flores from Americans for Prosperity will spend some more time on the tax bill and also talk about the governor's plan.
Yeah, and Pete Hegseth, just after 8:30 this morning, right around 8:35 from Fox News, lots to talk about with him, including what to do about the VA moving forward since the most recent pick has withdrawn his name. Also, lots to get to on the Iran front yesterday. Benjamin Netanyahu came out in a press conference in Israel, basically laying out that he had documents. These documents had been removed from Iran. They had been taken from Iran by individuals who were sympathetic to Israel.
I believe it was Mossad.
Yeah, I believe it was that. And apparently, that Iran lied, and they're still developing their nuclear program.
No,
there's a lot
that I can't accept that.
There's two different issues, and we'll get into it. There's two different issues that are happening here that are totally connected, but they're not being connected completely in the media yet. One is Benjamin Netanyahu coming out with this Iran lied press conference, and Pompeo was actually gone and confirmed that some of the documents are indeed legit. But also what's not being talked about nearly as much is that Israel launched airstrikes into Syria over the weekend. And so there is a lot of commentary around how Israel and Iran are headed towards all out conflict. So yeah, it's a pretty scary scenario.
Sam has been in there scouring the internet. She has compiled the top five stories that you possibly could not begin to think about starting your Tuesday without being made aware of. And we will bring
that was quite a messy sentence.
It was. It was. There were words in the wrong place there. Came out of order.
But what's not going to be out of order is the top five stories that you should know for the day.
Justice and Drew.
Boo-hoo, Drew-hoo.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look at the roads being brought to you by Compassion International. Everything's flowing fine so far through this morning. No crashes or stalls. Starting to see a little bit of traffic. South 35W coming down Lake Drive now past Highway 10 through Moundsview North on 169. Yeah!
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130.
I was going to do that.
103.5 FM. Hey, you were over there singing Justice and Drew, along with Sam. Hey, real quick.
Yes.
Out of Daily Wire. This is funny. If you've ever given money to Clinton, you might want to check your bank account. So apparently there was this Onward Together.
She's the worst.
There was this Onward Together charity, right? It's a one man who is now involved, an attorney general. Once you instigate a monthly recurring donation to Clinton's post-campaign charity Onward Together, you owe her $10.48 per month.
Who has a post-campaign charity?
For the rest of your life, he can't cancel it. It's like joining a gym. You can't get out of it.
You talk about people that are so used to just being on the dole. It's like, you give me money just because I'm me, right? I lost the election. That wasn't supposed to happen. Now I need a post-election charity?
Yeah.
People are. Why are people giving her money?
Because they feel bad for her. What happened? It's a what happened fund. Onward Together accepts
what a scam
payment information, but provides no ability to alter or cancel donations once the initial donation is received. The Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson took notice, contacted Onward Together to suggest they implement a cancel button.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So that donors can call off their donations. But even after using the cancel button, he's still getting charged.
Yeah, this guy, Corey Kozelniak.
Sure.
Yeah.
Come Corey Koz. Okay.
Old CK.
Yeah.
Old CK was, he tried to cancel, and he's still being charged $10 a month. What a scam.
The Onward Together wasn't able to provide the Seattle Times with much information.
Yeah, because they're a scam.
It says, the group is a 501c4, so it doesn't necessarily have to report incoming and outgoing money, something Clinton herself termed dark money and spoke out against during her campaign. That's hysterical.
Go get a job.
who, Hillary?
Yeah.
She didn't need to. They're on tour now.
I know. They're getting $25,000, $100,000 donations for the Clinton Foundation.
Why?
They're on. I don't know.
They're back on the money trail this spring, raising money for the Clinton Foundation.
So that they could go not help Haiti again? I don't know.
You know
why?
Hillary's got to eat.
I want to hear from a Hillary supporter. Explain to me why, after losing the election, you would keep donating money. She's not running again.
Donate money to someone who might actually win.
You're not going to hear from
her. Like a legitimate charity.
You're not going to hear from a Hillary supporter because there aren't any. Even people that voted for her didn't support her.
Unbelievable. Just this, so used to being like completely on the dole and just being given money just because of who they are.
Right.
They can't quit it.
That post campaign thing was probably set up prior to the election, and they also assumed that Hillary was going to win, and so then they just forgot about it.
Onward Together. But mostly me.
Right. Right.
Here's how this works. You give me money and then I move onward.
Oh my gosh. How many people are just having $10 taken out of their account every month?
Well, the story said they've gotten over $1 million in donations.
Wow.
And they won't tell anybody what they did with it, where it's gone, where it's come from.
At least for $10 with MoviePass, you can go see a movie.
Is Hillary going to take you to a movie? Right. I don't think so.
Oh. She's probably one to talk the whole time. What's happening? Why is that bad
guy? Happened?
Why is that bad guy purple? Why does he look like that? Is he a real spider, or is he? Where do you get those powers from?
Sam has been in there. She has compiled the top five stories that you need to know to kick off your Tuesday. Let's get right into it.
Number one.
Netanyahu says Iran is brazenly lying after signing the nuclear deal and moved documents to a secret location. From Fox News, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu revealed new dramatic intelligence on yesterday, which he claimed shows Iran is brazenly lying about its nuclear weapons program and shows the country is not complying with the vaunted nuclear deal it signed in 2015.
Everybody is shocked.
What?
Here we all are with our jaws on the floor.
What?
I actually read some comments on Twitter this morning where they said, well, okay, that might be the case, but if you get rid of the deal, it's going to be worse. Because at least now there's like a deal there saying they're not supposed to be doing that. If you take away the thing that says they're not supposed to be doing, then they're really going to do it.
They're just going to do it. They're not going to try to hide it. At least now they're trying to hide it.
I couldn't believe the mental gymnastics on that one.
At least with the deal, it's like we force them into lying.
They know they're not supposed to.
Maybe they feel bad.
We take it away, we're just going to like feel like they legitimately can do it.
The information was obtained within the past 10 days. That's according to Israeli officials. Netanyahu said the half a ton of files. Is that how files are weighed?
When there are that many, I guess so.
Do you think they
printed them out and then weighed them?
No. The files out of Iran, they're still behind the times. They're still done like on tree bark.
These files weigh half a ton.
Yeah, stone tablets.
Yeah, apparently these half a ton of stone
It's really
tablets.
Just two pages. Just, we are cheating. Etched into stone.
Well, there's half a ton of stone.
We're liars.
We're moved. was moved to a highly secret location in Tehran after the deal was signed and contained material spread over 55,000 pages and 55,000 files on 183 CDs.
Who still uses CDs?
Iran.
They might as well use stone tablets.
They had them all. There was added weight because they put them all in CD wallets.
Right.
So that's where the half a ton comes from. He said,
sorry, that's my Britney Spears mix. That one wasn't supposed to be in there. Whoops.
Well, you know where they got him from. Somebody they got a hold of the Ayatollah's car, and he had those discs up on the visor.
They're seriously storing national security files on CDs. Imagine that. Somebody burned these files onto a CD.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That's why they still make them. I've always wondered, like, why do the people still make and sell CDs? Oh, because of Iran. Okay.
He said, these files conclusively prove that Iran is brazenly lying when it says it never had a nuclear weapons program. Netanyahu displayed what he said was an exact copy of the original materials because CDs are super easy to copy, which are now in a very safe place and include incriminating documents, charts, presentations, blueprints, and photos. Speaking during a nationally televised address, Israel's prime minister said that the material is filled with the incriminating evidence showing the Iranian program called Project Ahmad and that it was to develop a weapon. Netanyahu briefed President Trump about the intelligence on Saturday and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on Sunday. European counterparts were made aware on Monday prior to the speech.
We'll get into a little bit more of this coming up in just a moment. We'll say before we go to break, May 12th is the next date for the recertification of the Iran deal. Right. And obviously that is in big question right now. Plus there's reports coming out that Israel is actually ready to bomb Iran if necessary.
Whoa.
We'll lay out some of the dynamics coming up on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice and Drew.
I inherited a mess. It's a mess. I just want to let you know. We'll take care of it, folks. We're going to take care of it all.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look at the roads being brought to you by unbound.org. Some debris on the roadway. It sounds like they're getting this cleared up now.
East clock hour, right around 8:35. Looking forward to talking with him. A couple of different issues. VA being one, but also this Iran situation. Benjamin Netanyahu, working through Sam's Top 5 this morning, says that Iran lied. Did you see when it comes to the nuclear deal, the footage of the press conference, it was Benjamin Netanyahu on stage with that big, huge screen in the back, and it just says, Iran lied. I mean, it was, he's got this Trump way about him that's not like Trump, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's more of a, he's thinking, like I wouldn't want to tussle with Benjamin Netanyahu. No, the dude seems super, super serious.
There was a lot of skepticism online yesterday. A lot of skeptical reactions, and people were hearkening back to the presentations that were made regarding Iraq's weapons of mass destruction program. That's fair game. I get it. I understand that if you are prone to be skeptical, it's not like you don't have reason to be.
Right.
You know, when you have world leaders making these claims about other countries that seem to be setting the table for a conflict.
It seems pretty clear that what we're getting with this particular story, it's not something the White House just found out about. I think they've known about it for a while. Benjamin Netanyahu was interviewed on Fox News this morning and even said as much. This information was taken out of Iran a couple of months ago. So they've been working through all this data for a while. Several different stories. There's one here from the Washington Times. Looked at a couple of different sources. One also from CNN. The last time that Iran and Israel were at odds to the point where it could spill out into a larger conflict that moves beyond the borders was back in 2015. Israel had taken out one of the sons of the highest leaders in Hezbollah. And after that happened, Hezbollah launched a barrage of rocket attacks over several days into the Israeli countryside. And then they both decided to pull back. It didn't escalate to anything further. Most of the commentary this morning is saying that they are closer now to the brink of all-out war with one another, with Syria being sort of the stage at which that would play out on. And that was evident over the weekend, where there were these missile strikes, jet fighter strikes from Israel into Iran that ended up killing a bunch of these Hezbollah militia at some of these Syrian military installations. What I find interesting about this is that this is pure speculation, and I've read this in a couple of different spots. It looks like Benjamin Netanyahu with this announcement is basically saying, hey, look, we got the goods on Iran and we're getting close to taking military action. And we want everybody to know what our position is right now and how Iran's been lying to everybody before we go and do any of that. The question that popped up immediately in my mind was, how much did the U.S. airstrike into Syria in response to Assad's chemical weapons attack lay the groundwork for potentially Israel going into Syria to strike at those backing Assad, and those Hezbollah and Iranian military there? That's where everyone's kind of going. You have these different issues taking place, but they all are very, very tied together, and it could lead to something really dramatic happening within the region.
Number two.
Stormy Daniels is suing Trump for defamation.
She's not going to go away.
This is very lucrative for her.
Would she go away? I think that she was panicking because she hadn't been in the headlines for a little while.
Yeah.
From The Hill, adult film star Stormy Daniels has filed a defamation suit against President Trump in addition to her ongoing one against his personal attorney, Michael Cohen. Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti, tweeted on Monday that his client has filed the lawsuit for Trump's irresponsible and defamatory statements about Daniels, whom Cohen paid $130,000 as part of a non-disclosure agreement weeks before the 2016 election. The complaint alleges that Trump's tweets mocking Daniels over a forensic sketch of a man she says threatened her to keep quiet about her claims of an affair with the president amount to defamation because they accuse her of fabricating the alleged crime, which would itself be illegal.
That's pretty thin. He's going to have to sue the entire internet.
Right?
Because that went on for a couple days.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady's not pleased because it looked like Tom Brady.
Looked just like Tom Brady.
Looked like Tom Brady.
Looked totally like Tom Brady. Look.
Coincidence? I think not.
It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't. We all know this. I'm speaking the obvious. But it can be as thin as they want it to be. Does it get a headline? Yes. Can they find something to file over? Yes. Does it provide the opportunity to get Stormy Daniels' name out there even more than it already is? Yes. And does it help with her promotion of what she does online, which she continues to go do? Absolutely, it does. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, this is all about her getting paid.
Yep.
I mean, that's why she's trying to get out of the agreement. She wants more than $130,000. She realized she could have got a lot more from the get-go, and she's just cashing in. You know, if this were about the president's character, then that would be one thing, but it's clearly not. They've never made that argument. This was a consensual relationship that happened a long time ago, and she's looking to capitalize on it as much as possible.
Number three.
Donald Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize, and that's according to South Korea's president.
You know what? Look, we should be quick here. Just to not be hypocritical, because I remember when Obama got it and how there was a lot of, oh, the Nobel Peace Prize is nothing. It doesn't matter anymore, right? It's irrelevant these days. All those things are still true. I think it's just funny that if that were to actually happen, that would be funny. Not, adding any sort of legitimacy to the Nobel Peace Prize.
This would be one of those instances where everybody sort of drops their argument, runs to the other side of the street and picks up the other argument.
Right.
All the people who thought it was awesome that Obama got the Nobel Peace Prize are now going to be saying that, well, it's a joke now.
Right.
It's lost all credibility. And everybody who was upset that Obama got it for doing nothing.
Right.
For, like, winning an election.
Yeah. Nobel Peace Prize, who cares?
Are all going to be very excited when Trump gets it.
From Sky News, Moon Jae-in's comment came after a historic summit on Friday in which he met the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. Mr. Moon told a meeting of senior secretaries that President Trump should win the Nobel Peace Prize. What we need is only peace. During the first inter-Korean summit in more than a decade, both leaders stepped into North and South Korea before agreeing to a complete denuclearization of the peninsula. Mr. Trump is preparing for his own summit with North Korea, suggesting that it might be held in a truce village that straddles the border separating the two Koreas. The U.S. president tweeted, numerous countries are being considered for the meeting. Meeting! That was in caps lock. But would Peace House / Freedom House on the border of North and South Korea be more representative, important, and lasting sight than a third-party country just asking? In floating the idea of a Trump Nobel Peace Prize, Mr. Moon was responding to a comment by Lee Hee-ho, the widow of the late South Korean President Kim Dae-jung. She said Mr. Moon deserved to win the prize in recognition of his peace efforts, leading him to say that Mr. Trump should get it instead. In January, Mr. Moon said that Mr. Trump deserves big credit for bringing about the inter-Korean talks. It could be a resulting work of the U.S.-led sanctions and pressure.
And here's a guy that is closer to it than any of us. Any pundit, any talking head, any columnist here in the United States. This guy is much closer to how these events have occurred and has a much deeper understanding of what's gotten them to this point than anybody over here. Okay, so I give these words a fair amount of credibility and a fair amount of weight. If the South Korean president is crediting Donald Trump for getting us to where we are now with North Korea and getting South Korea and North Korea to the table, shaking hands, declaring peace, then I don't see why anybody over here has any real grounds to contradict that claim.
My prediction, based off the track record of the individuals that dole out the Nobel Peace Prize, if this goes any further down the road and continues on the trajectory that it's on, Trump's not going to get it. Kim Jong-un will. That's who they'll end up giving it to.
Probably.
Just watch.
I want nothing more. No, that's not true. Second only to watching California break up into three states. I want nothing more than President Trump to win the Nobel Peace Prize, if only for
fascination.
The reaction of the anti-Trump crowd here in America and the massive amounts of smug that will emanate from the president.
True story.
Oh, can you imagine his acceptance and how happy he's going
to
be?
Yeah, Twitter's going to have to add more characters.
He's going to have an S-eaten grin all over his face. It's going to be great.
Number 4.
Mueller has dozens of questions for Trump in his broad inquiry on Russia ties and obstruction.
We just know this because the New York Times got their hands on it. It's sort of like nonchalant now. This is not anything that should be public if this is indeed true.
From the New York Times, Robert Mueller, the special counsel investigating Russia's election interference, has at least 4 dozen questions on an exhaustive array of subjects that he wants to ask President Donald Trump to learn more about his ties to Russia and determine whether he obstructed the inquiry itself. And that's according to the list of questions obtained by the New York Times. The open-ended queries appear to be an attempt to penetrate the president's thinking to get at the motivation behind some of his most combative Twitter posts and to examine his relationships with his family and his closest advisors. They deal chiefly with the president's high-profile firings of the FBI director and his first national security advisor, his treatment of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and a 2016 Trump Tower meeting between campaign officials and Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton.
I was wondering when Russia was going to get mentioned.
Yeah, right.
Right, yeah.
This seems like one of those things where I wonder, and I don't see it here. I wonder how old this is, because it seems like one of those things where somebody who may have been a part of the investigation but isn't anymore maybe had a laundry list of potential questions that the president could be asked by Mueller, and then it got leaked out because that person left. And like it's something that maybe does exist and it's out there, but might not even be relevant to the current investigation as it stands today.
They also touch on the president's businesses, any discussions with his longtime personal lawyer, Michael D. Cohen, about a Moscow real estate deal, whether the president knew of any attempt by Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, to set up a back channel to Russia during the transition, any contacts he had with Roger J. Stone Jr., a longtime advisor who claimed to have inside information about the Democratic email hackings, and what happened during Trump's 2013 trip to Moscow for the Miss Universe pageant.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
he was probably there for the Miss Universe pageant.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, but this is a story because he's got questions.
Right.
Yeah, and they were leaked to the media only so that this story could remain front and center because it started to fade away a little bit.
Russia.
Yep. Yeah.
Number five.
The White House correspondents are thinking about changing the dinner for the Trump era.
Or just get rid of it.
Yeah, or just maybe hire somebody who's not going to go and make a scene.
But it's our special night. So don't take away our prom.
From CNN, now there's a lively conversation among the association's members about possibly changing the format and the tone of future dinners. The proximate reason for the debate is President Trump's snubbing of the association for a second straight year and Michelle Wolf's performance at Saturday night's dinner. But this debate predates Saturday night. Aspects of the dinner have been controversial for a couple decades. The association's incoming president, Oliver Knox, said in an interview on Monday, as somebody who has said for a very long time that the dinner should be boring, that is to say, focused on journalists and the work of good reporters, I am very open to suggestions about how to change it.
I feel like people don't have the proper perspective on this White House correspondence dinner. I could be wrong, but I feel like people look at this like it's a State of the Union, right? Like this is something
that's not a news event,
right? That has to take place because it's officially part of the federal government. It's not. They can cancel it, and nothing would change.
No. This is just something they do to celebrate themselves, pat themselves on the back, and for some reason over the last decade or so, it's become a major news event. Not for some reason, it's because they all like covering themselves.
So of course it makes headlines.
You know, right. Of course they love talking about nothing more than themselves, and that's what this is. It's a bunch of reporters attending an event and then a bunch of other reporters covering the event. There is nothing remotely newsworthy that happens at this, and it warrants zero coverage.
And this,
it's a gala.
And this is the association's incoming president, Oliver Knox, agrees with you. He wants it to be a boring event. He wants it to just be about the journalists and not to be this big spectacle. The dinner is a key date on Washington's social calendar, as CNN is proud to point out. But its organizers admit that it needs to be rethought in an age of increasing political polarization and constant attacks on the media. In interviews with CNN Money, Knox and other White House correspondents said informal conversations are already underway. One association member said some people have tossed around the idea of doing a member's feedback sort of thing, such as a WHCA town hall, to get broader input. Another member said when the president doesn't come, there's a void. There's a huge void. Something has to change. Historically, Knox said, when the president comes, the program's center of gravity naturally tilts toward the president. After he speaks and ribs on the press corps, the featured comedian serves as the counterbalance. With the president absent and holding a counter-programming rally, the dinner has a different feel. Wolf's performance has become an object for partisan warfare, with conservatives claiming it proves the press corps' hatred of Trump.
True.
The president himself tweeted on Monday that the dinner was embarrassing and the event is dead, indicating that he won't be attending next
week. Well, he shouldn't. He shouldn't go.
No.
Why waste his time?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And I don't think the journalism and the media are ever going to wake up. They should be reporting on this president. There's plenty to talk about, and stop actively working against him. They lose credibility by the day.
Excellent top five, Sam.
Thank you.
Well done. Joining us next, Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka.
Justice and Drew.
I don't need jokes. I need real robot insurance.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
It is 6:51 and currently 54 degrees in the Twin Cities. It's time for your Rush Limbaugh Morning Update, brought to you by Sandbold Financial Group.